flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Only two head coaching openings remain. One of them, your Dallas Cowboys. Is that about to change? As we get into NFL news of the day, hour number two of the G-Bag Nation, Zach Wolchuk alongside Brian Broaddus, Eric Chiafalo, Lucius Alexander, and Carter Freeman, who's coordinating your video. And you, our Turn It On and Leave It On listeners. We love you, Tolos. Thank you so much for spending your Friday afternoon with us. 877-881-1053. Always the number to text in and join that conversation. We'll do some sounds of the sports day and, of course, Krusty's Corner coming up. We do have Nick Harris, Fort Worth Star-Telegram at 420. But, fellas, Pete Carroll, he is now going to Vegas. He's the head coach of the Raiders. So he's not going to be your guy here in Dallas, agreeing to a 3-year deal to coach Vegas. Already their fifth head coach since 2020 when they moved to Sin City. That is unbelievable. Just up and down. No plan really there. Mark Davis doesn't know what's going on, but maybe Pete can go ahead and calm things down a little bit. And the rumors are Russell Wilson, like we talked yesterday, he's trying to stay in Pittsburgh. Conversations are going on.
Uh-oh, are we getting a reunion? Carroll, Wilson,
Raiders are already
collision course?
Being linked to Russell Wilson after Pete Carroll has signed there. So I don't know. It seemed like maybe things didn't end great in Seattle. They trade him away. Mm-hmm. Thought that was a smart move by them. But maybe Russ and Pete still have a good relationship. They need a quarterback. Maybe he can be a bridge guy. But we'll do a mock draft coming up at 4 o'clock. And the Raiders might be trading up to go get their quarterback in said mock. And how could that impact what the Cowboys do at 12 overall? But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, what do you think that makes any sense? Reunion, Russ and Pete together?
It really doesn't make any sense, you know, unless they're thinking about, again, the bridge position. But go ahead and draft your guy. You know, go ahead and if you're going to trade up, and, yeah, this isn't a great draft for, you know, for quarterbacks. I kind of feel like, though, that, you know, on the Love of the Star today, we talked about maybe potentially some second-round guys, you know, that you might look at. That might be, you know, with the Jackson Darts and people like that in the top of the round. I don't know. Maybe I every time I was watching, like I say, I'm watching Mississippi film.
Like Trey Harris.
And I'm watching. And
Dart Jack, can sling it.
Dart is slinging it. And I'm sitting there thinking.
And he's mobile. He can move around.
I'm like, okay, why have I not? But it's, and it, there's opponent film too. When you're watching LSU corners or, you know, Jackson Dart seems like to be a guy that's that. He's that kind of player.
He might end up getting himself in that conversation. I did see our buddy Sean Sharif reporting that the Cowboys are working to get Brian Schottenheimer's staff together right now in Frisco. So we haven't had anything announced, and I'm not sure what the staff would look like. We have discussed maybe Lunda Wells stays on staff. He's been an outstanding tight ends coach, but does have a history with offensive line. Does he slide in to be your offensive line coach? Maybe even an assistant head coach. I don't know. What does this mean for Al Harris? Maybe a Paul Gunther. Do they bring Paul Gunther back? I know he's a Zim guy.
Yeah.
But to try and keep continuity on defense, I don't know.
Yeah, I will say this. I can say, and I need to circle back with Mike Zimmer and see where he's at. But I know, as talking to him yesterday, he was not interested. Now, maybe the Joneses, Jerry, could be very persuasive, and maybe they offer Mike more security and some more money and, you know, things to make it worth his while. But there's, let's be honest, Jeff Seguina did a really nice job. Him and Greg Ellis with that defensive line.
Sure, I mean, they got Mozzie Smith playing good football the second half of the season.
They got those guys playing pretty good up front.
And, yeah.
And that, and you know, we didn't see that from Dan Quinn, and you know, they played okay, but they weren't not at the level that we saw him play. So, yeah, there might be some guys that you really want to think about bringing back here on the defensive side of the ball.
You know, as an offensive coordinator, and this wouldn't be to call plays, because I think that's what Shoddy wants to do, according to Jane Slater. So I'm assuming if he's the head coach, he's also your play caller.
And that's the worst part of all this. If it was just Shoddy as, hey, he's going to be the head coach, but we're going to go outsource a brand new cutting-edge offense, that would make me feel so much better about this. But Schottenheimer's playbook...
I agree with you.
It's kind of a bummer.
Like, having been around Brian Schottenheimer, he is a dude who I can get
people
the leader
gravitate
of men.
To.
Yeah, like,
yeah.
I loved getting to sit and talk with him. So as a CEO, head coach, that might be actually a really good fit, and he kind of knows the highs and lows within the organization, kind of understands the circus, which, look, we heard throughout the tenure of Mike McCarthy, like, he didn't quite get, oh my gosh, it is very different here, being the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, especially coming from Green Bay, where, I mean, that is a fan-owned organization. It's a lot less drama than what's going on here in Dallas, but one name that is now available, and I've already seen a lot of Cowboy fans and Tolos asking about, well, Bobby Slowik has been let go by the Houston Texans. Now, last year, they were 12th in the NFL in yards on offense. They were 13th in points, and they had the fewest giveaways in all of football, according to Diana Rossini. Now, this year, they dropped to 22nd in yards, 19th in points, and they were 11th. In giveaways. He was a top head coaching candidate last year, but if he's not calling the plays, I think we found out Bobby Slowik he wasn't a tendency breaker guy. The league caught up and he wasn't really able to adjust. Now, some of that, maybe people in Houston have taken a deeper dive, and CJ Stroud's play also declined a little bit, but I know to what we've seen, the numbers show it was probably more Bobby Slowik, but either way, that's a guy that does do some of the stuff we've looked, the eye candy, the motion. If he's not calling the plays for you, might not be a terrible idea to try and get him on staff, at least as an offensive consultant, or maybe he has the OC job like Shoddy had the last 2 years, but he's not your primary play caller.
Yeah, definitely wouldn't want him as a play caller, but in San Francisco, he was an offensive assistant, offensive pass game specialist, and then passing game coordinator. So he's had a couple of different roles. He was actually a defensive coach in Washington and in San Francisco before that. So as a guy on the staff, like, I would certainly be interested in that. I wonder if this is, you know, Kyle Shanahan and just an immediate reunion from that standpoint, the same way they're doing it with Robert Saleh defensively. But he would be a guy I would be down to have on staff for sure, but not as the play caller.
817, what the bleep are you guys doing? You should be raising bleeping hell right now. Like, I think I've raised enough hell.
Hell has been raised.
I think 20. I
we
did
know this
my
has
job.
Been a disaster class of a process from the Cowboys. We know they don't really
this
respect the
funny.
Position that is head coach. And the reason why they end up with a Schottenheimer who's never coached before, despite being in the league for forever, being a football family, lifer dude, 50-plus years old. The reason why that's going to be your coach here is because, based on the stipulations that the Cowboys have, that's the only type of coach you can get. You can't get a really qualified, hot candidate with options because the Cowboys, Mike McCarthy walked away from whatever this offer is. I don't think Kellen Moore in the Zoom interview really liked what he was hearing in regards to what their plan was. So this is the only option you have. It's a disaster process, and it's a nightmare with the way that they philosophically just don't believe that the head coach really matters, and they love their comfort, and all of this totally sucks.
Yeah.
But we've talked about that
right
at length, and now we're living in reality, and we're trying to piece this thing together. If it's going to be Shoddy, none of us are in favor of it. But what is going to be the coaching staff and the plan moving forward? Because
all
signs point to Shoddy.
All you can do is kind of hope for the best. And I know my optimism has really left my being. But 817, if you want the raising hell, you can go check out the 105.3 The Fan Twitter page, Instagram. You can check out the rants. And it's all there. The hell has been raised. And I know that... It's been heard. It's been heard around Cowboys Nation here. Okay, we also have, and one of the is the most bizarre crawfishing, maybe in the history of the NFL. Hmm. Other than Josh McDaniels, that one's probably bigger. When he like took the Colts job and then said, sorry, I'm not taking the Colts job, and then goes back to the Patriots. But Jags, now head coach Liam Cohen, we thought, okay, he's going to go get a raise. He's going to stay in Tampa Bay. And then apparently all day yesterday, they're expecting him to come in and sign his contract. And they're like, where are you? What's going on? He doesn't reach out until at the end of the day. He, I think, sent a text or a phone call to Todd Bowles. But he had been meeting privately with Jacksonville. After they fired their general manager, Trent Baalke, I guess he decided, you know what? we can make this happen. That was the guy that clearly was I wasn't wanting to work with. He pivots back. He's now the head coach of the Jacksonville Jags. And Adam Schefter was on Pat McAfee's show today saying he's never heard a team as furious than what the Bucs are right now as they've lost their offensive coordinator. And now they're scrambling to try and replace him. Maybe that's a home for Bobby Slowick. I don't know. I don't know if he's just soured in NFL circles. Like I know he's soured on, you've soured on him, Eric, but it is a wild story what's gone down with Liam Cohen now as head coach in Jacksonville.
Yes, because I mean he gets the offensive coordinator position, the extension, the fat contract for a play caller, but it was all contingent on him no longer talking to the Jags at all. So Albert Breer's like, that's why this was so secretive, and he's ghosting Tampa all day. And he's blaming it on the fact that he has a sick kid who apparently he actually does. He's got a kid with some sort of autoimmune disease that he's discussed in the past, and maybe they really were at the hospital all day. But a courtesy text to the Bucks of like, hey, I'm dealing with this. I'll get back to you as soon as I can. Family matters. That doesn't seem to be the case. I don't blame Cohen for once things changed in Jacksonville being like, I want to be the head coach there. But obviously, he kept things close to the vest. And Albert Breer talking about some of the reasons why. Part of it, of course, is because the Bucks were making it contingent, him being the play caller, you're no longer talking to the Jags at all. So it's like, okay, this has to be a secret. And the other thing is the Jags hadn't satisfied the Rooney Rule yet.
Yeah,
they had only interviewed Robert Saleh. So they interviewed defensive guy Patrick Graham yesterday to satisfy that, but they couldn't let the cat out of the bag that they were talking to Liam Cohen because Graham wouldn't have even shown up for the interview. So he's basically getting ball sacked. Yes, yeah. Of course. If Graham knows that this is all just to satisfy the rule and they're going to end up with Cohen, he would have never flown there to interview.
13.
So everybody had to keep this thing quiet for selfish reasons.
Ah, it's a wild, wild story. We do now know Cam Jurgens, offensive lineman for the Eagles. He's questionable for this game on Sunday. He's probably going to end up playing, I would imagine. But that's a big deal. He has missed practice now pretty much the entire week as he's dealing with an injury. He is expected to go. I'm sure he's going to test it before the game, but that could be big. We know Sam Cosmi's going to be out. Now, Brandon Graham, their defensive end, who tore his triceps, he was talking on the Whip earlier, said if we get to the Super Bowl, he's got a shot to come back and play. So we're going to see if he indeed ends up going ahead and is able to play. Hopefully the Eagles just aren't in that game. Mm. Let's finish off with some audio here. Let's start off with Jaden Daniels, the quarterback of the Commanders, who I'm hoping take down the Eagles and then the amazing magic carpet ride ends in the Super Bowl against either the Chiefs or the Bills. But Jaden Daniels' mom, who is also his agent, had this message for all the thoughts out there.
Now that Jaden is getting ready to take this next big step, what concerns you the most?
Girls. Them girls. Some girl out here, she's got Jaden Daniels wall, and her mama said, hey, honey, you're going to be the one who's going to go get him. And I know that sounds crazy, but I guarantee there's someone out there who's trying to get their hooks into Jaden Daniels.
She's not wrong.
So thank God he got a mama like me, because it ain't happening.
I bet she did say something like that.
It's true, though, man. You got to be careful out there. And mom knows best. Mama knows best.
Yes.
Jaden Daniels has his mom looking out for him here. But ladies, if you're trying to get you some Jaden Daniels, just know you got a potential future mother-in-law that ain't having any of this.
Yeah, that could be tough sledding. But Mama Bear's going to Mama Bear.
Surprising. Well, he's been at two places where he should have met a girl. Arizona State.
Yeah.
And LSU.
Yeah.
Are those settled down girls? Are LSU girls settled down girls?
There's some talent at those two schools. So.
2-1-4 is a fallback, mama. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Yeah.
LSU.
I mean, if you're out for something, you're not trying to settle down.
Yeah.
No, I know, but we're talking.
You're on the hunt.
We're talking about settled down.
I'm surprised you did
she's
not.
Probably worried about trap.
Yeah. Mama's talking
about, Paul Skeens
hey,
did.
I got something that you can pay for 18 years now. Yeah. Plus, I'm going to get half of your whatever you got going on.
Yeah,
I want $50K a month, $80K a month.
Now you get trapped into that.
You don't care about your babies?
I wish that wasn't something we had to deal with, but
oh,
you do.
Playing the guilt card on you.
Now, here was another great move from Jaden Daniels. So they knock off the Detroit Lions. Now, fellow first-round pick last year, Terrion Arnold of Alabama. They're, of course, college rivals, and that went into the NFL. And he left a funny, funny note on the jersey exchange and the swap here with Terrion Arnold.
You know what's funny? I'm cool with Terrion Arnold. He a DB for for the Lions.
Yeah.
And he told me that he swapped jerseys with Jaden Daniels after the game. And on the bottom of the jersey, Jaden Daniels wrote, Cancun on three, 1, 2, 3.
And then he actually
swapped jerseys, yeah.
Yeah, I'm putting the Commanders in for the Super Bowl, bro.
I love it. Cancun on three.
That is fantastic.
It's kind of annoying that I like a rival quarterback so much, but I really do, man. I really like Jaden Daniels. I just wish he played for a different team.
Yeah, 100%, dude. I mean, there's nothing not to like about this dude. He's just he checks off all the boxes. That right there is savage level. That's the best jersey exchange I've ever heard of.
So good. It's amazing. Okay, I've got an NFL award that we can pick back up right before we do the top 10. Top 10 will move to 4:40 today because we'll have Nick Harris at 4:20. But coming up next, Sounds of the Sports Day.
Yes, Championship Weekend Edition featuring more fuel for the Chiefs.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Haters. All right, we have a championship weekend edition of Sounds of the Sports Day here in the nation. Then we get you to a Football Friday edition of Krusty's Corner. Great to have you in. 877-881-1053. I can't imagine how many fights are going to be going down. The fight videos that we're going to get from Lincoln Financial Field with the Commanders storming into Filthy and Tick Pick alleging that over 20% of the ticket purchases for Sunday's game have come from Virginia and Maryland. Might have a lot of commandos in the building for the NFC Championship game. And then did you guys see, how about the alleged Commanders fan decorating the Rocky statue in...
Okay, was that real?
It was actually...
They put the jersey on it, the commander?
Like Redskins gear. It was like throwback gear.
Yeah.
Like they covered it, the Rocky Balboa statue. So, I mean, that's just more insult to injury. Unless you think, is there a chance here that that's an Eagles fan doing it inject some more hostility into everything? I don't know. Maybe that's chestnut checkers.
Yeah. I think there's
foul play involved?
I think there's absolutely foul play.
Flag.
They can't spell Eagles right. So, I don't know. Are we giving them too much credit? I don't think they're the most intelligent fan base.
Fair counterpoint. I don't know. We may never know. But that's what's happening.
I do
right
love
now.
This.
It's
going
to get testy.
Awesome.
It's going to get hostile.
How far does that drive from Filthy to like Landover, Maryland? It's got to be like what?
I know
that
Baltimore. What was it like?
Pretty close.
It's like going to Waco.
It was like maybe about an hour and a half. Maybe.
You go through Delaware real quick,
fast.
And then you hit ball. Yeah, it's like driving from Dallas to Waco.
Yeah,
I think is what it was. Trying to remember. It's been a while.
All right, let's.
We've done it a few times. It's real fast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's quick, man. Yeah.
Like you could go party in Baltimore if you wanted to.
It's like traveling through the Metroplex. Like you're going to Plano to Fort Worth.
Right.
Yeah. What a different world.
Just
growing up here in Texas, everything being far away, but you're still in the same state.
You drive 30 minutes East Coast, you're in a different state.
Yeah. All right, let's kick off the championship weekend Sounds of the Sports Day with Eagles offensive lineman Jordan Mailata. Some people will be finding out for the first time he's got a bit of an accent to him. I believe he was in Australia. I think he's Australian.
He was. I think
he's a rugby monster.
This might be the greatest find.
Is he New Zealand?
Well,
those
are both
like
big time
conflicting reports. I'm
is
not
he
really
Australian?
Sure. Well, you tell me. Let's all guess together. He was asked about the disrespect that Jalen Hurts gets and all this love that Jaden Daniels is receiving right now and lead up to the matchup. Is he ticked off about it?
Jaden's kind of become the hot thing of this season, and then with good reason. But does it ever? I know it doesn't bother him much, but does it ever bother you that, you know, people don't really consider Jalen that caliber of quarterback despite his record?
Just want to apologize for this. I couldn't give a f-.
Yeah.
I just want to apologize. I'm sorry. I couldn't give a fuck a rat's ass about who whatever anybody says outside this building. It ain't going to help us win championships, and that's our goal.
He's an Aussie.
He's Australian.
That's an Aussie right there.
He doesn't even give a rot's ass about any of that crap that's being talked about his quarterback because it's all true. Why would he care about it? He's like, this is all factual things. Like Jaden Daniels head and shoulders above what Jalen Hurts is as he's literally limping into the game where all they need him to do is just throw for like 120 yards and just don't screw this thing up. He knows his quarterback's a bus driver, but I love that response right there. And everything sounds better in the accent. I love the apology on the front end, too. Like, what a classy gentleman. I mean, he's going to have his teammates back. He's going to be violent about it, but he also wants to soften the blow on the front end to the general population. He knows what locker room talk is, and he's giving it to you, and he's prepping your body for it. I don't know. This dude's a monster, though.
He is really good, and this is, I think, that offensive line
coach. It's like 6'8", 350 or something ridiculous.
It's one of his best finds. I think he's gone and on record talking about it, like how he ended up going to a camp and finding this guy and doing. And he was a 7th-round pick that they've made into an All-Pro. I mean, it really was a big get there for Filthy.
That's the ultimate protector right there.
Yeah,
size and then willingness at the microphone. Like, that's my guy. I know he ain't that good. I know he ain't that good. But it doesn't matter how he built a team that can. That can win in spite of this guy.
You got the MVP in the backfield.
Don't start doing that. They don't have Josh Allen, do they?
Yeah, they do. They got Barkley.
You think Josh Allen wins it?
I do. Yes, I think Josh Allen wins it.
I still would guess Lamar Jackson ends up winning it. But and that would be fine. Like if Lamar or Josh Allen
midfield after he beat the Ravens this past week, man,
that would have been cool. That would have been a nice show.
I saw it.
All right, there's the Eagle side of things. Here's a Commanders fan. This is some sound from earlier in the season after the Commanders had to see Saquon firsthand in an Eagles uniform. This Commanders fan after the game, he's flustered.
Saquon Barkley. I swear, Saquon Barkley is the best. We survived the Giants, and now the Eagles got Saquon Barkley. Lord have mercy, man. All to the Eagles, man. All to the Birds.
Eagles, okay.
So he's like, okay. He's like, we've had a bit. We've dealt with Saquon in a Giants uniform, and that was one thing. But now we just saw firsthand what it's like in a filthy uniform. That Saquon is quite the man beast. But he's not the MVP, and that's okay. Offensive player of the year? I mean, can't you guys settle with that and be okay?
No,
still rest at night?
No. I never thought it was going to go to him.
I mean, Jaden Daniels deserves the MVP more than Saquon Barkley. Okay, now this next
say
sound.
His name right. Come on, that's disrespectful.
Saquon Barkley.
I'm just Come saying on, it Saquon. The way the Commanders fan did. All right, so.
To be fair, that was after the game. He probably was blitzed. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Totally.
Saquon Barkley.
Saquon Barkley.
Saquon Barkley. Okay, now this sound, I hesitate to play this sound because this is not something that I want to hear or want to come to grips with. But we know that the Chiefs have a lot of haters these days, especially when it comes to the way they're being refereed. And maybe this is all big ploy with the NFL and showing way too much deference to Mahomes and the Chiefs. This is some sort of behind-the-scenes exclusive sound, and this is going to be fuel for the Chiefs haters, so just prep yourself for it. This was not supposed to surface, but this is a conversation between Chiefs quarterback Pat Mahomes and the commissioner of the NFL, Roger Goodell.
Guys, I'm scared Josh Allen is going to go off script this weekend. There's no fucking way we can stop him if he does. I'm going to call Roger Goodell and make sure he helps us cheat.
Hello, this is NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell. Who's calling me?
Roger, it's Patrick. I thought we had a deal. My Chiefs are supposed to three-peat this year. But I'm scared about fucking Josh Allen, man. He looks pissed off from the coin flip game. The guy's too good, and then if he goes off script, I'm not sure we can stop him. You got to protect us, man.
Patrick, I'm already getting the refs to call every bullshit penalty they can. But I'm going to tell you straight, you Kermit-sounding, froggy-voiced f-face, you're supposed to be the face of my league, but my refs can't make up for the fact that your team is in the bottom half of the NFL in total offense. I'll do everything I can. But if the Bills f*** you up, you're on your own, Patrick. I don't care how much money that f***ly witch Tay-Tay has made us.
Damn it, Roger. Taylor's going to be f***ing pissed if you let us lose. You better do everything you can on Sunday.
I mean, the evidence is damning, I hate to have to admit and wrap my arms around this, but there's clearly some tomfoolery going on behind the scenes.
They put in the call, man. The scriptwriters know. They've got the AI Mahomes down perfectly. Like, that is spot on.
The voice is pretty
spectacular. It is so good.
Yeah.
The Roger Goodell is what gives it away to me a little bit. Like, if I didn't know, I could tell because it's Roger Goodell. The Roger Goodell sounds a little off, but the Mahomes, man, that is uncanny.
Okay, here, let's continue championship weekend sounds of the sports day. I gotta feed you what Gruden's selling right now at the FFCA. This is the Fired Football Coaches of America.
Yeah.
This is inside the quarterback room with John Gruden, and this is 60 seconds of real hard-hitting football stuff, boys.
We used good-looking girls. We used J-Lo. Love J-Lo. You ever see her? Fantastic. You ever see Jennifer Aniston?
Yes, sir.
Fox, man. J-Lo, Jennifer Aniston. We use those girls. And sometimes they would use Cindy Gruden, because my wife is a smoke show, baby. We are pissed off when we come to the line of scrimmage. Every player we're pissed off. You know why? Because they're trying to bust your ass and end your career. You better look at it like that. They want to hit you. They want to sack you. They want to fumble. They want an interception. They want to... So it doesn't make you feel real good. You know what I mean? So let's go. Hey, Tripp's right. I'll let you know. I'm a dummy. Ready, break. Shot! Blit five. Blit five set. Hey, let's go J-Lo, L.A. J-Lo, L.A. Selva, set up. Know what I'm saying? And people are Gruden. He's too emotional. He's too... I give a shit. We run one into a three count. Are we clear?
We are clear, Coach. Thank you. Coach. That's what it's like. That's inside the quarterback room. Gruden on the whiteboard, giving it to you straight. Just football 101 right there,
911. Jesus Christ.
682, you're right. He's an absolute cartoon character, man. He's a nut job, and we love that. Okay, I think we should close it down here, man. I got some good stuff, but this is absolutely hilarious. This is Bill Murray. Have you guys seen the clip of Bill Murray on the Jason Kelce, Travis Kelce podcast?
I've heard they were asking him questions and stuff. I think I saw one question that he answered, other than I didn't follow through on it.
Now, you'll have to just tolerate the incessant laughter from the Kelce brothers. Yeah. But this is Bill Murray talking about how he used to call the husband of Kelly Lynch when he was watching Roadhouse.
So we recently reviewed Roadhouse, the original Patrick Swayze film.
Yes.
There is a legend out there. You used to call the husband of Kelly Lynch, mm-hmm. Who plays Dr. Clay, anytime a particular scene came on with Patrick Swayze on the television. Is this rumor true?
One of the hardest things I ever had to do was to call a friend. And at a late hour, I mean, very, very and not without some back and forth. Should I, shouldn't I, should I, shouldn't I? And as a friend, I did not identify myself, but I just said, hey, as a friend, I think you should probably turn on TBS right now. Because that son of Pat Swayze is slam it to your wife.
Oh my gosh.
Swayze, may he rest in peace. There are a lot of wonderful things. A beloved guy, but that was wrong what he did.
That is 10 out of 10 Bill Murray dominance right there. And again, I apologize for the incessant, disgusting overlap.
Every time they have a guest, like
they hype them up.
They do. They hype them up.
But that story is 10 out of 10. But
they have the overlapping a lot.
It's a great story.
They deal with it. They deal with it. Yeah. Okay, there it is. Championship Weekend Edition. Sounds of the Sports Day here in the G-Bag Nation. We'll have a big board report featuring Krusty himself and the Wooly Bully at the top of the hour. But coming up next, it's a Football Friday edition of Krusty's Corner.
Yeah, let me give you some reasons to kind of look at this these playoff games in a different way. We'll do that next.
Clarence Hill reporting former Cowboys receivers coach Robert Prince is interviewed for the same position with the Miami Dolphins. They went ahead and let go of Wes Welker. So now they're looking for a new receivers coach. Is a lot of the old staff here in Dallas is finding other jobs. And we're waiting actually a head coaching decision. I know Sean Sharif is reporting that they're working on finalizing the staff. Yeah. For Brian Schottenheimer there in Frisco. So when we hear more, we'll pass it along. We'll get more into the Cowboys coming up at the top of the hour with a big board report. Nick Harris, Fort Worth Star-Telegram at 420. But right now it's time for Krusty's Corner. Here he is, King of the Krusties, Brian Rodas.
Thank you very much there. I appreciate that, Wooly Bully. You were talking about working on staff. I reached out to Mike Zimmer, and he says he has not heard from anybody about anything. So I asked him, I said, hey, any possibility you coming back? And he says, I have not been contacted one way or another. And he asked me, is it done? So I said, well, it's, you know, it's kind of going in that direction. I've had some people text me very, very close to the situation and said that it was done, but we'll see. We'll see for the official word about it. But as of about 20 minutes ago, Mike Zimmer had not been contacted if, in fact, that they're trying to put together their staff. And so that's kind of where that's at right now. With that. All right. Man, for like 3 days, I feel like I've been trying to promise you guys some nerdy numbers and I just can't get to them, right? I
mean, well, you've been working your ass off, just hustling, trying to find this good information on this Cowboys stuff.
Listen, I just, by the way, just to, and I don't know if they're listening, shout out to like Jane Slater and a shout out to Sean Sharif. Mm-hmm. They you talk about people you can work with and stuff, and like a lot of people get information and get it fast and kind of work together to try and do stuff. So you got some great teammates on the station that can
we sure do
put together some stuff really fast. And so, you know, thanks to them as well for all the hard work that they did.
And you're saying that as of 20 minutes ago, you're
Zimmer,
saying
Zimmer says nobody has contacted him and he's asking me if it was done. So I heard from a very, very good source. I'm trying to kind of run down a second one. This source I have is excellent.
And they're saying the deal is basically done.
They say it's done.
It is done.
Yeah, they're saying that.
Right.
But I want to make sure before I go on record and say, yeah, it's done, I'd like to make a couple more calls if I could. But this one source I have is excellent. But I just don't want to go in the one source thing right now and get everybody's going. But it seems to be that's the direction that they're going right now. All right. Chieftain.
Yes, sir.
What if I told you this in looking at the Commanders and the Eagles game? You always have some like really cool little things you talk about with some little nuggets and stuff like that.
Yeah, try to.
What if I told you?
Most of them aren't ball sacks either.
And they're calling this the Commanders' identity check. This is their offensive identity check.
All right.
Commanders' offensive.
So would that be like true serum game?
Yeah, it's what for all the marbles. What else do you use? True serum game.
Well, I mean, it just depends. I mean,
look at the future game.
It's a time and place. There's look ahead game.
Sometimes it's all of them. All
don't
in one,
F around game.
Yeah.
Lose this game.
Just a handle business game. Just a take out the trash game.
Yeah.
You go for it every fourth down game.
Yeah. This is a all the stops game.
Yeah. Score all the touchdowns game.
I like the fact that when we had our guy Bram, you got the get right game.
This is a get right game for the Commanders.
They were right. Yeah.
Right up until Mike, kickoff, baby.
Right until Mike Zimmer stopped him twice.
Kevontae Turpin, Wanye Thomas.
Yeah.
Take that
in all your face.
How about this, though, Chieftain, for you on this one?
Mm-hmm.
Daniels has went to his right.
Oh, I think I know this number. On a scramble? Is this a scramble? Yeah. Is this
80%?
80%. 80% of the time, he scrambles to his right.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and it's
what they did on that fourth down conversion against Detroit.
You know, it's funny we're talking about Daniels right now. And I asked Zimmer this question. because I just... Because
Zimmer's been... But Zimmer was the one...
He's the kryptonite dude.
He is the kryptonite. The Jaden Daniels kryptonite.
And this is what he said. I asked him, I said, hey, how did you play against this guy so well? And he says, you can't let him run or extend plays. Can't. He says, you have to make him a pocket passer, is what he did. Now, he pocket passes against other people and seems okay.
Well, he is good at that for sure. But when you let him get to his full repertoire of dominance and he's running all over the place and throwing, now you're in the spin cycle.
Yeah, Zimmer's like, he's got a really big arm, but he hurts you more with his legs. Have to make him patient. So the longer, it's kind of like Jalen Hurts, the longer he holds the ball, the more problems that he has.
Mm-hmm. If you can keep him contained in the pocket.
If you can keep
him contained. But I think a big thing is you don't want to be playing your corners off the ball. You need it. Like, I think what the Cowboys had a lot of success with was we're going to go ahead and press.
Yeah.
So if you want to go ahead and blitz and send pressure on him, that's the way to go. Don't allow 10 yards of your corners playing off the ball because then Jaden Daniels knows, okay, I can at least dump it out there and I'm probably going to pick up 5 yards.
Right about that. Okay, so Daniels, he's going to go to his right 80% of the time. Way to be on it, Chief. You knew that. Daniels has a 114.7 passer rating versus blitz. You talked about that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, versus the blitz.
Yeah, that's the
highest. But Walchuk makes a good point. Like, the Cowboys did send pressure, but they're bumping, running these guys, disrupting things. Oh, no,
I like it. They're absolutely right. But 114.7 rating versus the blitz. That's the highest by a rookie since 2016. I wonder if that was Dak.
I think that was
Goff would be the another, or Wentz.
Yeah.
That's the... Oh, wait, that's just the passer rating stuff?
Yeah.
I think that probably was Dak.
Because Next Gen, I think, came out in 2016, so a lot of their things go back when they started. Okay. But that seems like a pretty basic passer rating stat.
Okay, the Commanders went empty formation 22% of the time in formation in Week 16 versus the Eagles.
Mm.
Empty formation, so they spread them out. Okay, here's the Eagles' defensive identity check. Nolan Smith has generated 5 pressures in back-to-back playoff games.
Clicking at the right time, man. And that's a guy, when you talk about the scrambling to the right side, I'm looking at you, Nolan Smith.
Yep. Ineffective four-man rush. Pressure rate versus Washington in 2024, 52.4% on blitzes, 20.3% without blitzes. So they were ineffective 4-man rush is what they were. The Eagles were against this guy. All right. Cooper DeJean, you mentioned him. League low 4.2 yards per play allowed in nickel in weeks 6 through 18. He's been what do you remember about him when he was coming out of Iowa, Wooly? What were you thinking about him?
I mean, a lot were like, okay, is he going to play safety or corner?
Yeah.
And if you wanted to play him at safety, I didn't have an issue with it because he's so rangy.
Mm-hmm.
But I did think he was really good as a corner because he can run and the recovery speed, he's instinctive.
Yeah.
I was a big fan of his game, but also special teams. Like, he ended up being the most points scored for Iowa because he was just running kicks and punts back for him. So I had him as my 20th best player on the board last year.
He was excellent. All right, we'll go through these. The Eagles' identity check. Barkley's breakaway speed reached 20-plus miles per hour in 13 carries, including the playoffs. No other players got more than 6. So he's gone 13 carries of 20-plus miles an hour.
Jeez.
Hurts has averaged 9.6 yards per play versus man coverage, most by a quarterback since 2021. Impact blocker. Averaged 6.3 yards per design run with Dallas Goedert on the field, 4.7 without.
Yeah, and Goddard didn't play in that last matchup versus the Commanders. That's a guy to watch for that I think could probably have himself a nice afternoon.
All right. Commanders, defensive identity check. Liable for big gains. Commanders allow 13.2% explosive run rates to running back in 2024. That's 31st in the league.
You know, we saw it firsthand with Barkley in both matchups. Yeah. He had giant chunk touchdown runs.
And Gibbs last week in the divisional round.
Even more man coverage. 49.3% man coverage rate versus the Eagles in 2 matchups this season. So playing a ton of man coverage against those guys.
Now, they did change it up versus the Lions and fooled Jared Goff on throwing the zone at him.
Absolutely.
Probably Dan Quinn uses that again.
And A.J. Brown versus Lattimore in Week 16, 5 receptions for 68 yards, and that shadow matchup is what they had right there is what they call that one.
If I'm A.J. Brown, I'm looking at that Mike Evans game from round one of the playoffs. Bucks end up losing the game, of course, but Mike Evans had his way with Marshawn Lattimore.
He did.
All right, let's look at some things real quickly here with the Buffalo and Kansas City matchup. Josh Allen's averaged 1.6 more design runs per game in the playoffs. We were talking about that, right?
It's time to do it.
Yep. Shakir, their wide receiver, third highest target rate against zone coverage in the NFL, 31.6%. We'll see how much zone coverage that Kansas City will play.
Probably not much.
Steady up front. Starting O-line has played for Buffalo 81% of the snaps. That's the highest in the NFL this year.
Wow.
So
Continuity. And they run the heavy personnel out there with six linemen and bully people.
They do. Chiefs' defensive identity. Need to blitz. Second largest pressure rate increase on blitzes this season. That's 18% from last. Middle of the field, Oakland, utilized split safety coverage at top five rate in five of the last six seasons.
Yeah.
Josh Allen, I don't believe, has thrown an interception against cover two this year, right?
I wonder if Spags is a different plan.
Yeah. Off-ball blitzes. Send an off-ball defender to blitz the fourth highest rate in the NFL.
McDuffie's a master at that, too, for the Chiefs.
He is, absolutely. All right, Chiefs offensive identity. Third down specialist. Mahomes' highest success rate on third down since 2018.
Yeah, he's just been otherworldly. Third and seven plus, it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. Mahomes leading into the quick game. 2.47 seconds time to throw over the last three games. Like in weeks 1 through 15, he was 2.87, so he's getting the ball out of there quicker. Might be because his left tackle has been a little compromised.
Yeah, you play a team like the Texans on Sunday.
Yep.
Come on now.
You talked about it going heavy. 2+ tight end rate versus Buffalo, 58.6 in the last two matchups, 27.2 in the previous six. So there's your heavy personnel stuff.
They can run it much better.
Kansas City. Some Bills identity check on defense. Problems underneath. They allow the second most yards on passes behind the line of scrimmage. 755.
Yeah, they're the type of defense McDermott always just wants to keep everything in front of them.
Yep.
That kind of plays into the Chiefs' hands because that's what they like to do. They're just going 5 yards at a time here.
More heat recently. 20% blitz rate versus Mahomes in the last two of the three last matchups. Just one in the first five. So they brought more heat on him the last two, three times of the two.
That's a fool's errand to blitz Mahomes, man.
Yep. And nickel and dime. Haven't played a base defense versus Kansas City since 2021.
Wow.
So
it's been working in the regular season for Buffalo. Maybe they change it up in the playoffs. I don't know.
There you go, man. There's some things you might need to.
I love it, dude. There it is. What a football Sunday we have.
Krusty's Corner,
dude.
Every day, 3:40 here in the G Bag Nation. Let's keep the football content going. Oh, glorious, glorious football. Let's do a big board report, shall we? What would you do in this mock draft scenario for the Cowboys? We got some early favorites for these defensive positions and a new coaching rumor. Does this tick you off even more? That's next.